Welcome to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac, a show about how to break through obstacles that may be holding you back in life or business. And now your host of Breakthrough Thinking, certified master practitioner in neuro-linguistic programming, business consultant, and CPA, Dave Isaac.
Live from the 1010 Studios in Phoenix, Arizona, you are listening to Breakthrough Thinking. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. I'm Dave Isaac, the host of Breakthrough Thinking, and this is a special edition of the Entrepreneurial Spirit. Usually it's the first and fourth. This is the fifth Monday. Leanne Hall, Craig Dean, welcome.
Well,
thanks,
we're
David.
Glad to be back.
That was so cute how you did that. Look at that. For the viewers out there,
it's teamwork. That's what entrepreneurship is about.
They're sharing a mic, and that
there's a line drawn right down the middle.
I know that was a little curtain and stuff.
And it's really it's my
mic. This is how she shares.
You know, we have a phenomenal show today. I mean, four empowered women. I mean, what's better than that, Craig?
Nothing.
That's what I'm thinking.
I've died and gone to heaven.
Maybe hockey. I don't know. But no, I'm a big hockey fan.
Roller derby.
Yes. They did have their first bout.
Yeah.
Don't tell anyone I wasn't there. Oh, you just did. Mm-hmm. Or I just did. Okay, I admitted it. Anyway, the entrepreneurial spirit, the first and fourth Monday usually, this is what the country needs. Do you agree?
What the world needs now is love, sweet love.
Wow.
No, not just for one.
We're back. It's called Donnie and Marie, right? I saw them in Las Vegas.
Oh, yeah, I would love to see them.
I thought it was great. People told me to turn in my man card, though. Because I like Mamma Mia, too. What
Dave,
can I say?
Dave, you did that about 20 years ago.
Oh, thanks a lot. All right. Kurt, get security. Okay. Anyway, this is great because we have four empowered women, women that really make a difference in the world. And I think this is great. The first hour, of course, we have, let me introduce them. It sounds like a fighting thing, right? Yeah.
Let me introduce them
in this corner. Okay. Martha Mayhood Mertz, founder of Athena International. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I'm delighted to be here.
This is great. And, of course, someone that's been on our show, Sue Ellen Allen, author of Slumber Party from Hell.
Thanks for bringing me back.
Oh, absolutely. Weren't they great? Wasn't Sue Ellen great?
That was a fantastic show.
I had so much fun. Yes. You made it easy.
No doubt. So let's get right into it because, you know, I think, quite honestly, women really, you know, there's supposed to be equality in the world, but what I hear from my CPA clients that are women, that there's not. It's still a male-dominated world. Would you agree with that?
Well, yes, I would, but I think there has been a lot of progress in the last, I'm going to say that my overview is more than 20 years. When I started out, I started a company in Michigan, and I was the only woman-owned company in that part of the middle of the state. All my colleagues, male colleagues, said I would not make it, I would fail. And so I toiled along and worked very hard and, of course, didn't fail and ended up finding a really strong way to be a good business person and resource within the community, such that ultimately they asked me to become one of the leaders of the Chamber of Commerce there.
That is awesome. Well, tell us a little bit about Athena International then. What was the purpose, how you started it?
Athena came from that, and I'd like to just give you briefly the story because I think it's kind of interesting, and it goes to your first point about how are things for women now. In that time when all of my colleagues and I sat down at the Chamber of Commerce table, board of directors, I was the only woman there. And it took me a year to learn how to speak male, which was important.
How do you speak male?
Yeah, I was just going to ask, could you give me a definition?
You've heard me speak male. Yeah.
I want to see if another woman can do it.
Can I just add one more thing? Can you speak Kling male? Or does that cut off the whole vocabulary?
No. In that setting, it was clean male, but it was also very strong. Uh-huh. Absolute. No question. When I opine, that's the truth. That was kind of the way. And volume has something to do with it. It's been a while. I've kind of tried to forget that. But along the way, I learned also that if you're the only one of your kind in a group, it's very hard to have your ideas and opinions and perspectives accepted by the group. So I decided that I would like to bring some other women into the leadership of the chamber. I mean, the community is at least 50% represented female population. And when I took in the names of the most qualified women I could find in that community, my lovely male colleagues said, Martha, she's not a leader. Mm-hmm. She's not a leader. She's not a leader. And one by one, they just pulled them down into not a leader. And part of it was that they didn't have the title at the time. She wasn't the president and CEO. She wasn't the chancellor. She wasn't in charge of something, but she was, in essence, a leader. And today, those same women, one of them is the head of the AMA and chief of staff at the biggest hospital in the community. Another one is a U.S. senator. So they were leaders. They were just coming along, but I needed to have other voices. So I decided that it was important to hold up one outstanding example of what the new face of leadership looked like. And it was once a year to this group of chamber people. And there were 1,200 people who came to their annual dinner the first night. This is in the middle of Michigan. And the first Athena Award was given, and the whole place stood up with a standing ovation. At that point, I knew that this idea was going to resonate not just in that community, but across the country. And in fact, in Phoenix, the Chamber of Commerce here gives an Athena Award once a year. I believe that they're in their 26th year, perhaps, of doing this. There are over 900 to 1,000 people that come to that event every year through the chamber, and there you must have 26 Athena recipients within your own community. So very proud to be part of what's happening in Phoenix.
That is phenomenal. Craig, it looked like you had something.
You know, I find it very interesting because having worked with women on boards and things of that sort quite often, I find that that women, once they get to a certain level, are better leaders than men because they've had to work twice as hard. They've had to research twice as much. They know much more about the subject matter than men usually do. And I find it very interesting that I think women, once they have gotten to that plateau, are fascinating.
You know, women lead in different ways. There are different models of leadership. And so we talk about the traditional model of leadership, which we all know and we've all learned. It's kind of the guy at the top, and it's like a ladder in a way. It's in steps along the way to a hierarchical kind of position. But women like to lead it more in a circle. And so we like to gather around. We like to draw opinions from all of the people who are there. We like to find out the opinions from the person who very frequently isn't asked for their opinion. And then we take it from there. So along the way with this Athena journey that I've been on, we studied ways women lead. And we have what we call the Athena leadership model. And it really is not just for women. It's for everyone. And it has to do with a sense of authenticity as a leader. If you know your own, you must know your own values, but you also must live your values, because if you have a set that you love to extol, but that isn't how you're behaving, people can see that. And we like to collaborate, we build relationships because we genuinely care about other people, and we give back. We like to leave a different legacy. We want the world to be better because we walked in this world.
You know, it was interesting throughout the, I don't know if you knew, I ran for Congress, and throughout that process we went to a women's event, and Craig was, I think you were the only man there.
Several times.
And it was really interesting because he loved the event. Mm-hmm. And he said it's so sad that there's not a place for men like this. Mm-hmm. A place for men to feel safe to be able to, because there is a side in men. And what I like about today's time is I, like you, went through a period where I spoke the male lingo because I was in construction and I had to. And I kind of lost sight of my womanhood through that process because it wasn't an accepted at least not in that industry. Now, what is I seem to be able to do now is recognize that we all probably have a degree of both sides in us. I mean, I certainly, under degrees of pressure, I'll find that my male side comes out really strong, and I can hold, I can go toe-to-toe with any guy, but there is my innate womanhood in me that I want to be able to still utilize and express, and it's valued in this world. I think we are seeing that more now, that at least we have a place where we can display some of that, and there is some value where it was not accepted in the past.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that, except I took a different road. I was developing property. I started a company and functioned as the head of a company for many years. It was real estate brokerage and ultimately development, and I never left my feminine mm-hmm. side. But that doesn't say that I don't have strength.
Right.
And that I don't have resolve, and that I'm not smart, and that I don't learn, and that, you know, all of the things that I needed in order to function as the head of this company, a risk taker to the limit, and a role model for others, I had all that. We all have all these skills yeah. and talents. And occasionally, as I said at the beginning, I needed to learn how to speak male, because I think that's what you're talking about.
It is. Well, and it really, mine was from a lack of confidence in my own self through that process in an industry that was totally male-dominated, and I was out on job sites. And so I am a kind of a frilly, girly kind of person, and that was a tough place for me to be in, to find a balance of who am I and who can I be and still be successful.
I always thought that every time I took on another project, that I needed to know that I was going to ruin at least one pair of great shoes.
Yeah.
Sometimes the male speak is something that I'm still learning, because I say, I think this will work, and a man will say, this will work.
Well, sometimes you'll say that without thinking.
Usually. Mostly.
But it comes intuitively to a man. This will work.
Absolutely does.
And women will go, I think, I believe, maybe, perhaps, yeah. we couch it, and the guys just say, this will work.
It was interesting working for Leanne and going to a lot of these meetings where it was only women. When I would enter a room, you could immediately sense the difference of energy in a room full of women versus a room full mm-hmm. of men. And working with men in certain things, men almost kind of divide and conquer, where women, you said, it's that circle thing. They will try to work more together as a group. I remember we had a meeting at our house one time with two gentlemen, and they were posturing each other.
It was
embarrassing.
Fun.
It was embarrassing for me. Yeah. They were posturing so much to show who was smarter. They were both so incredibly smart, and I kept thinking, but if they just could get past this crap and work together, what wonders they could do.
Yeah, I used to figure that the first 15 minutes of any meeting with several males was going to be who did the biggest thing. Who drives the fastest car, who went hunting most recently. And they all went through all of that, and then we could get to the business of the meeting. And so I just had to wait.
An example of that, where I brought up a little earlier as a CPA, my women clients, let's say it's an IRS issue or lease negotiation, they'll ask me right off the bat to come in from the beginning to negotiate. My male clients generally will try to do it themselves, and then I come in to clean up. So,
yeah.
You know, the women seem to know from the beginning, like, hey, you know, if they have to negotiate against some other male person, they don't like to do that usually. And it's interesting to see the differences between female and male mm-hmm. clients from that perspective. There's something on your website I really like, which really, I think, reflects what everyone's talking about here. It says the whole idea of Athena International, the concept, acknowledging and honoring those quiet leaders, mostly women, whose efforts were adding immensely to the fabric of their communities while they remained unacknowledged and not visible as leaders. That really struck me, because it's sort of what you just said. The chamber originally they didn't seem as leaders, but they weren't looking in the right place, were they?
Or just looking at leadership with a different description.
Yeah.
And and lest it sound like there's male discomfort here, let me tell you that all of my life I've worked with males. And Athena International is about women and men working together so that we can achieve mm-hmm. a balance in leadership, because the balance is what's important. If it's all in one type and not balanced by the other, then you get off kilter, you get off key. And
we just need to understand each other.
Right.
Or accept each other.
Or accept, yeah.
Yeah.
Right, and teach each other and learn from each other. That's really what it's about. And so this model that we're talking about for leadership is really for everyone. And I think that the times are now that it's a little bit too dangerous in our world to only have the one traditional model. We need to have to know how to constantly learn without thinking that I have become the fountain of all wisdom. We have to recognize that giving back and making the community a better place is something that we all need to be dedicated to, and to the importance of building relationships, not just within your own little circle, but across nations and across cultures. In our world today, building relationships is one of the most important strengths that a leader can bring. So all of those things add up to this is an important model.
That is a very important model. When we come back from our break, we'll continue our discussion about leadership. We have in studio Martha Mertz, Sue Ellen Allen, that's a tongue twister, Sue Ellen Allen, Leanne Hull, and Craig Dean, and we'll be right back.
Are you able to ensure the safe driving and productivity of your employees? I'm Kara Lee with GPS Heroes, and with our plug-and-play GPS device, you can set geofences, get speeding alerts, and a full report card each week with driver reports and mileage, all to your computer or handheld device. It's easy to get and easy to use, in real time, with no service contracts. Just go to gpsheroes.org/21 and order yours today. That's gpsheroes.org/21.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is the Entrepreneurial Spirit, the special edition starring Leanne Hull and Craig Dean. Special in-studio guests, we have Martha Mayhood Mertz founder of Athena International, and Sue Ellen Allen, author of Slumber Party from Hell. Wow, and Sue Ellen was on last month, I think it was.
Yeah,
no, it was in January.
Yeah.
Thanks,
really
guys.
This
show.
Month.
Yeah.
That was great. So anyway, let's go over a couple things on this leadership model, because I think that's what the world needs also, whether it's a man or a woman. Mm-hmm. Better leadership. I just saw a movie called Inside Job, and if you want to really get nervous about the world, see the movie Inside Job. Have you heard of it?
Is that a good movie? Or
I thought it was a great movie, and if it's true, it is scary, really about scary. The global economy. Not a good situation. That's why your friend Elliot
Pollock
said that he thought we were within minutes of a catastrophe worldwide. Remember he said that?
I think we still are.
So I would highly recommend this movie. The critics liked it. It's gotten great reviews, but it is scary, and that might be a different topic. But maybe
that's where faith comes in.
Yeah. And, well, maybe they could use a leadership model.
Oh, you bet.
Is that the greed model, right?
The greedy model. I think that in that area, we got out of balance. And, again, when you get out of balance in terms of what is the purpose of the leadership here, what are we here to do? And if the balance was we're here to keep score against each other, and the person who takes home the most zeros is the winner.
Yeah.
It's just a culture that sort of built on itself and wasn't conducive to making the world a better place.
It's interesting you say that, because I just went to an APAC meeting yesterday, the American-Israel Political Action Committee, and there were 1,400 people at the Biltmore yesterday. And the highlight speaker was a African-American woman from Detroit. She's a Baptist minister. Within 15 minutes of her speech, she had 1,400 Jews on their feet yelling, "Hallelujah." She was.
Only in America.
Only in America. Because when you mention faith.
What
you know,
a vision.
And, and she was talking about it in Israel. And, I've been to Israel four times. And it's utterly amazing. You know, when the missiles are coming in and the bombs are coming in from Lebanon or wherever they're coming in, people still go out and about. They think they may not come home, or their children may not come home. They have that fear, but they do not let the fear stifle them. Mm-hmm. And when you think about what happened here in 9/11, how our country went into such a fear factor, and we were told to go to the shopping malls and spend your money to alleviate your fear, and don't, you know, it's such a mindset. It was very, very interesting. And when you just said faith, it just kind of
kicked in.
Yeah, it absolutely did.
That is awesome. I mean, that must have been quite an experience.
Oh, she was incredible. She went to Israel 2 years ago.
Craig got emotional. Go figure.
She went to Israel 2 years ago and became totally turned on by the country. And if you ever go to Israel, you're a changed person for the rest of your life. Came back and decided to get the African-American ministry involved in supporting Israel. 2 months ago, she took 37 African-American ministers to Israel, and she was talking about the Six-Day War in 67, and she says, and the generals of the world still can't understand how Israel won that war. There were 500,000 troops on the borders. She goes, I know! It was God! God is on, I mean, and everybody's standing up and applauding. It was great.
Now, that is leadership.
Yeah. Yes!
That woman is leading.
Oh, my
pack.
God, yes.
And I'll bet she's using Martha's.
She may not know Martha's she is, but I think she is.
Martha's model.
Yeah.
Well, let's go over this model, because I think it would be really enlightening for everyone. And where do you want to start?
Well, I generally start at the beginning. The most important trait of a leader is to be authentic to yourself. To thine own self be true. And so if a person places themselves out there as a leader, and states their values but isn't living those values, then people can see through that. And then they're not going to be inspiring to someone else. And so a leader really knows themselves very well and adheres to the values that they most admire within themselves. That's the first and most important thing, and everything comes after that in terms of true leadership. So then the ability to remain open to learning for the rest of your life. John Wooden said, a person who is through learning is through. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And important.
Yes.
So not to become the fountain of all wisdom. Sometimes people who consider themselves to be leaders know everything. Well, guess what? The world just changed. And they don't know everything.
That's a fine balance, too, because the two things, the two principles that you just spoke about, being authentic and open to growth and change, I've heard so many people say, I am who I am, and that's all there is to it. Well, okay, so you are who you are, which is being authentic, but you have to, I'm excited, but I'm not anybody, I'm not who I was a week ago. So you have to be in that continual process of mm-hmm. growth and change, and you can still be authentic.
Mm-hmm. And maybe it's the ability to accept the fact that you don't know everything.
Yeah.
That
is,
and then to be curious about it. Be hungry to know more and to grow and learn and become deeper and so on. Another trait of a leader is someone who is a fierce advocate for something. Something in your life that has changed you or that you have met up with that you care so much about. Now, I would be a fierce advocate for achieving a balance in leadership worldwide. That's my advocacy. Mm-hmm. But every one of us has something different, something that has touched us in our lives that we care so much about that no matter what the circumstances are, if we meet up with an opportunity to make a difference in that way, we do it. We follow up on it. It can fly us off into directions we never expected, but that's okay.
Would you define that as your passion?
Yes. Absolutely. Thank you. In a word.
And I believe if you don't have a passion and a purpose in life, mm-hmm. your life isn't going to mean anything. It's going to be right on the superficial. It's just shallow. It's a job and it's going home and it's, you know, there's not much to
we
it.
Have to have a purpose.
Yes.
And
mm-hmm.
it's mm-hmm. our goal in life to find our purpose.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And it's kind of your soul is made visible that way.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I think we can make passion so big that it makes people feel like they that they don't that they're lost because they don't necessarily have this big passion in life. I know that they're, my mom has a gift of hospitality, and that may not be her passion per se, but it's definitely her gift. And it's not anything magnanimous. It's not that's going to stop people in their tracks, but it's a gift. Homemakers, women who decide to stay home. I mean, I have been very passionate about raising and building a family. So I think it's really important that how we define what passion mm-hmm. is too, mm-hmm. and allow for even the smallest of passions to be as great as the bigger passions.
Yeah. Well, Dave mentioned it earlier, and that is that very frequently women will be the quiet voice.
Yes.
These are small things. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't have, maybe I'm the only one in the world that knows what my passion is, or what I think I'm going to devote some major energy in my life to. And that's fine. It isn't about large and big and loud. In fact, it's not.
It's that. Really about what mm-hmm. you love and what you mm-hmm. believe in. And are you like in poker, they say all in. Are you all in with your passion?
That's right.
I would say, are you all in? If you are, then go all out.
Oh, that's lovely.
It's good. Yeah, it was good.
Day. Yeah. Very good.
Well, you had to write that down.
I did.
I love your comment because my mother was a quiet woman, but she was very strong at the same time.
Yeah.
She was quiet with her conviction and her beliefs.
Yeah.
Till the very end, when I was with my mother holding her hand when she died, and my mother had three possessions in her life when she died, two rosaries and a Bible, and that's who she was when she died.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And the love of you, her son.
Oh, she was great.
She had that too.
Yeah.
That's what she could take with her.
Yeah.
Now that's a leader, Craig. I mean, just being there with your heart and soul for your mom, I mean, that may go unnoticed in the papers, but not in the greater scheme of things.
It was actually the most significant thing I ever did in my life was to hold my mom's hand when she died.
Mm-hmm.
That was the most powerful thing that I think I could have ever done.
That's lovely. Yeah. It's actually one of the strengths of leadership in this model is celebrate. And in a way, you were celebrating her life. As we all do. And celebrate doesn't just mean the wonderful times. It can also mean the tragic times. But we like to gather. We like to come together and memorialize something that we all shared or that was important to us. And women do that creatively sometimes with songs or poems or art or dance or whatever.
Quilting.
Food. Quilting. Food.
Definitely food.
There you go.
And you are listening to Breakthrough Thinking. This is Dave Isaac. This is the Entrepreneurial Spirit, and we'll be right back with our guests. We have Leanne Hull, Craig Dean, Martha Mayhood Mertz, and Sue Ellen Allen. We'll be right back.
KXXT.
Prostate cancer has become the most common type among men and is the most diagnosed cancer in the U.S., killing one man every 16 minutes. This disease will strike 3,600 men in Arizona this year. Sadly, 640 will die. One in 31,000 golfers will hit a hole in one. One in six will develop prostate cancer. The Southwest Prostate Cancer Foundation was founded in October of 1999 with a mission to mount a public education effort aimed at raising the awareness of the life-saving early screening procedures that dramatically reduce the mortality rate among prostate cancer victims. For more information, contact us at 602-547-3806 and on the web at www.sw-prostatecancer.com. That's www.sw-prostatecancer.com.
Hi, this is Steve Rundle from Dwellings Realty Group. Is your home underwater? Are you considering or have you already missed a mortgage payment? Do you have questions about your options and the differences between a short sale and a foreclosure? If so, I strongly encourage you to call Dwellings Realty Group today at 480-629-8136. Dwellings Realty Group is a locally owned, full-service real estate brokerage that specializes in educating our clients in short sales, loan workouts, foreclosures, and additional options that may be available to you based on your individual circumstances. You owe it to yourself to call today for a free consultation and let us walk you through the best option for you in regards to your home so that you can rest easy tonight. Again, if you find yourself asking any of these questions, the next step would be to call me, Steve Rundle, at 480-629-8136 or www.dwellingsaz.com. Like the great Kenny Rogers said,
you got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up.
1010 KXXT, Arizona Station.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is a special edition of The Entrepreneurial Spirit, starring Leanne Hull and Craig Dean, special in studio guest Martha Mertz, the founder of Athena International, and Sue Ellen Allen, author of Slumber Party from Hell. And let's get back to this leadership model, because this is something everyone can use. As a CPA, as a business consultant, there's very few good leaders out there. People think they're good leaders, but they get trapped in their own way and they stumble over themselves.
Sometimes they get trapped in their title and their corner office or their exalted position and forget that leadership is not necessarily a title. Yeah. Leadership is a gift of compelling people to be inspired by what you do or what you say, to paint a vision of something that could be better in the world, and then helping people help you get there, get to that. So,
like maybe the founder of Southwest Airline. Do you know Herb? Oh, yeah. What's his name?
Herb Keller.
I always liked him. His employees loved him.
And they sing all the time on the planes. I love that.
Yeah. And Kurt, what
are
they
just singing?
Real.
See, that's...
Here we go. He's going to play some. Okay, maybe later he'll play what they sing.
And they don't charge for baggage. Or to make it change in your...
Yeah, I saw that on a commercial.
Now I remember the early days in Texas when they had three airplanes and they flew from Dallas to Houston to San Antonio, and the girls, the flight attendants wore hot pants. I mean, I go back a long way.
Wow. Hot pants.
Hot pants. They wore short shorts that flight attendants did.
But unfortunately, that's when they were weighed and measured, and there
everything,
were strict restrictions
everything.
On them. It was
they
not
were like
good.
Hooters. Now,
don't say that. Sort of, yeah. Sort of.
Can we say that on the radio?
The
well, no,
old
I mean, Hooters,
days.
The restaurant chain.
Here's the song I think that they used to play on Southwest.
Dave. Oh, Dave. Did you write this song?
No. It was too hard. I couldn't get the lyrics right.
He didn't know it should be a capital D or a small D.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, back to leadership as we listen to that star, that number one hit. Okay, so Southwest. Yeah, I always was intrigued by Herb. And they
he's
really
an unusual leader.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So let's go back to the
my
song.
My favorite is David in the Bible. He's
yes.
My favorite leader.
Oh, yeah.
And my husband's name is David. There's a lot
see?
Of
so
and
beloved.
One of my
Dave.
Chapters is
it's
named
all about
King
Dave.
David.
Wow.
Her,
what's going
her
on here?
Her brother, she calls her brother King David. He's the only boy in the family.
People call me that.
My name is Craig, which is short for David.
out.
Okay, Craig. Craig D. will call you.
That's right.
All right, so back to the leadership model. I think you left off learn constantly. I love that, by the way.
Learn constantly is part of a great leader, being open to knowing, always seeking knowledge. Acting courageously, leaders dare to stand alone and speak their truth when the need arises. Fostering collaboration, welcoming everyone, every voice to the work of leadership, and giving back. And we've covered those. But I'd like to just tell you that I have presented this model in this format in many different countries, first of all, from coast to coast in this country. But in the Arab world, I have presented it in Russia. I've presented it in China in formal and informal ways. And everywhere I take this model, people resonate with it. And not just women, but men as well. People resonate with this model. And I have a story of a very recent, very different experience that has to do with this model. I'd like to share it briefly with you. Most of the time, I'm talking to the very highest level of achievers in communities, the community true leaders. And recently, Sue Ellen asked me if I would take this model and address these kinds of issues and these kinds of strengths with the women at Perryville Prison just outside of Phoenix. And I gave what is called an Athena World Cafe there, which is like a little conversation. And people talk about each one of these traits, and they begin to see in themselves that they have these skills and talents, and that these are strengths that they have. And they start to understand that leadership begins with each person. We lead our lives. So we lead every decision we make is a leadership decision for ourselves. And Sue Ellen gave me the opportunity to do that, and we took tablecloths in and put all kinds of color in the room. And there
unheard was, of in the prison.
It was an exuberant, incredible evening.
125 women.
And we were all levitating at the end of it because
was
it was such a great
resistance.
Well, we had to get special permission to bring in the special tablecloths. They were like south of France, very colorful Provence. And they, 125 women, ate to a table, markers on the table. All of the markers have to be counted when you leave to make sure the markers don't stay behind. And all of these security issues have to be addressed, but they did it.
And a microphone.
Yep. And the deputy warden at the end said it was an exceptional evening. And
wow.
She does not throw words around lightly. Exceptional. And Martha said it was the best audience she never had.
And that really relates to your whole theme, too, is it's about education. Not incarceration.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, it is. It's about education. And this model is a paradigm shift for inmates because they haven't led themselves and they haven't had this. When I saw it and I met Martha, I said, we need this in the prisons because it gives them a chance to not only think about leading themselves, but what does it mean to me as an inmate, as a mother, as a daughter, as a wife, as a person in my community? How can I make this resonate in all of those areas? And that's what Martha talks about. And that's what they were doing on the paper. You know, they were talking about each table talked about a different principle and what it meant to them. And they came up with amazing definitions and meanings. And now we are talking to the prison. As a matter of fact, we met with them this morning about teaching this we want to teach it to the whole prison. We'll see as it evolves, how it develops. But they're very receptive. And we had a great meeting this morning.
I think it's interesting to know that what we've taken this model from are the very highest placed, most successful people who have given back to their community and made a great impact. I think it's important to see that we've taken from the strengths that they have and we've recognized that it permeates throughout the community. No matter where you are in your life, this will apply.
You know, you mentioned you've been to the Arab countries and you can't help think about what's going on in Egypt now. How would this pertain to that? And if you were a leader and went to Egypt now, where would you even begin to start?
Well, I'd start with finding a way to collaborate together because they have a long way to go to gather up all of the voices that have not been heard for the last 30 years. And so I would start with the idea of bringing those voices together to understand what is the collective vision we could have for this country.
And you know what, speaking of holding your voice for 30 years, there are times that I felt like I've done that. And I do know that when you finally get a chance to speak your voice, we may need to allow people to speak it and let loose so that they can release and then be productive.
Vent the anger.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think that's happening in the streets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is.
And so allowing, if it can be done in a manner that's not so destructive, but a constructive release so that then you can go forward.
You know, I heard something that was so heartwarming and really different about what's happening in Egypt on the radio the other day, and it was that there were whole groups of young men who had taken up brooms and were making an effort to keep their neighborhood, whatever
clean.
Little place, yep. Sweep up the debris from broken windows and so on, make sure that people don't loot in the stores and the museums or whatever is important to hold on to. And that is such a wonderful exemplification, in my view, of a difference here. These people want to hold on to what they're proud mm-hmm. of. And they're willing to go on the street when there was gunfire and tear gas with brooms in order to keep it sane and civilized as possible.
That's a that's a different kind of leadership.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Those are some of the great qualities they possess, and that's the quiet part too.
Exactly.
Which is phenomenal. And so tell us a little bit more then, Perryville. Is that going to be, do you think this, I am sure you hope for it to be an ongoing event and really a grassroots thing rather than coming through the politicians, you're going right down to the ground floor.
Well, we talked to the head today, the deputy director today, and we want to get the holy water sprinkled on the whole program and then take it to the prisons. But our idea is to teach all the women. And not only that, but Martha and I have been sitting around talking about how we can have materials that will go also to their children. Because in the prison, there are very few, if any, programs that actually reach out to the children, and if there's some kind of interaction that goes on. And that's what is so important, because women are separated from their children, and the children suffer because they don't have their mother. The mothers suffer. The community suffers. We all suffer because we need to keep those bonds alive. And another program that we presented today was a parenting program, because they need parenting classes. They need to learn how to be better parents. Everybody knows and learns how to be, needs to learn that. Yeah. Inside and out. People need to have know their develop parenting skills. But I think this model is a foundation for parenting skills. It's a foundation for everything. When I first saw it, I thought, this isn't just leadership. This is rules to live by.
Yeah, we could have reading, writing, and Athena in school.
I love that.
You know, I'd just like to say that if anybody is actually interested in reading more about this and wants to put it in one place, you can get it. I wrote a book on it. It's called Becoming Athena, mm-hmm. 8 Principles of Enlightened Leadership.
And do you have a website?
Martha, www.marthamertz.com.
M-E-R-T-Z?
Yes, thank you. M-E-R-T-Z. And so you can read about this. And
or on Amazon.
Mm-hmm, you can get it on Amazon mm-hmm. or at my website. And but that's a way to follow through and dig a little deeper into what we're talking about here today.
You know, it's interesting you talked about the people in Egypt sweeping the streets because they wanted to make an area clean. It's really kind of our philosophy about this radio show, the entrepreneurial spirit. So many times we think entrepreneurs have to own their own business, or you know, they have to be doing something that's, whether it's retail or whatever. But it's just taking pride and ownership in whatever you do. You can be a government employee and be one of the greatest entrepreneurs in the country. Just do what you do and do it the very, very best that you can mm-hmm. do it in.
Mm-hmm. You know, talking about the politicians, too, and that, you know, taking it your own self, we feel that that's really important. Having run for office, I also realized that, we have so much power that is unclaimed in our own hands. And we're trying to make a difference. Craig and I are doing some things within the city of Phoenix, the arts community, and there's so much that every one person can do individually to make a difference in their own communities and neighborhood, and instead of waiting for the politicians or others to take control and fix it all for us.
The key is finding your voice, yeah. And most people feel like they are voiceless.
I know.
In prison, they know mm-hmm. they're voiceless. And one of the keys to that is learning civics and understanding how your system works.
Oh,
and that's one of the things Gina's team does, is we teach civics out there. One of the things, my dream, my vision, if anybody's listening, is I would love to have Justice Sandra Day O'Connor go out and speak at the prison, because she has a website that teaches civics to young people. It's an interactive kind of website. Very cool. And I would love to have her go out and speak and represent, you know, speak under our umbrella, invited by Gina's team, if anybody knows Justice O'Connor, because she really believes in knowing civics. And that's where part of my passion is, too.
I would say the vast majority of people in the city don't even know which district they live in when it comes to voting. They don't. When we were out getting petitions signed for her to run for Congress, people had no idea what legislative district they're in, mm-hmm. what, you know, city district they're in, anything of that sort. Who's their representatives? Nothing. It's just not taught anymore.
Well, and that's what she said when she launched her website. We're not teaching civics in our schools, and we need to understand that. And I propose that if you understand your system, you will be less likely to create a crime against your system, if you feel like you have a voice within your system.
Mm-hmm. You know, every time somebody says something, it leads to another thing. It's also true in business. When I had my restaurant, if I had a relationship with the purveyor, I was less likely to leave that purveyor if something went wrong, yes. versus if I didn't know the purveyor, and if they if I perceive that they screwed up, I'll just bring in somebody else. But if I had a relationship with them, I wasn't going to leave them. It was too difficult.
Mm-hmm. Relationship.
Yeah.
That's part of the leadership strength. Model.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How about with small kids? Have you taught, or I guess I should ask, what are the ages that you've taught this model to?
We've, girls love this model. And we've taught it from age fifth grade on up through high school. It's actively developed into a program in college for young women. I taught at a college in the United Arab Emirates. To young women in college. And so it really doesn't matter. You can change the language to make it simpler so that they can understand, but they see themselves and they see what they have, and then they become proud of it. Those young years are such vulnerable years for girls, and yet if they can start to see what they have already, this isn't long, hard-fought stuff. It's what we already came in with. And if they can see that and take ownership of it for themselves, it helps them through those really tough, vulnerable years when they have little confidence and nobody really knows how to help them build it.
And when we come back from our break, we'll continue our discussion about leadership. This is fantastic, actually. And I have a couple comments and questions when we come back. And we're in studio with Martha Mertz, Sue Ellen Allen, Leanne Hall, Craig Dean. We'll be right back.
Yes.
Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today. 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is a special edition of the Entrepreneurial Spirit. Don't you like how I say that? A special edition. Sound like CBS, NBC, ABC, Fox.
I like it.
Okay. Special edition of the Entrepreneurial Spirit, starring Leanne Hall, Craig Dean, and special in-studio guest Martha Mertz, founder of Athena International, and Sue Ellen Allen, author of Slumber Party from Hell. Now, a couple questions. Is you teach it to fifth graders, and... You know, it's sad because most kids probably get their education in this area by just watching, you know, modeling their parents or, sadly, TV and movies. That's not going to work very well. And just think about some of the politicians up there or Wall Street. Whoa, that's not going to work. What comments do you have on that?
Well, I think that as Sue Ellen was talking about parenting, kids begin learning before they're verbal. And again, it's that business about authentic self. They learn from what the parents do, not mm-hmm. necessarily what they say. So it's how we meet up with our role models, or we are role models in our world. And you never really know the importance of the impact that you have on all of these people that you interact with. But in almost every day, we are role modeling for someone, no matter where we are or what we're doing, almost every day, and especially for young people, because they're absolute sponges, looking for who am I going to be?
Yeah.
I think about our something on this line, our legislators who are saying we can't, parents should teach sex education, for example. It's very controversial, but no, we should get it in schools. That makes a lot of sense if you're a parent who is going to teach whatever it is, whatever value, sex education or how to eat lunch with a right fork. It doesn't matter. If you're the role model, that's perfect. But what if your parents are beating you up? What if your parents are taking drugs? What if your parents are working the streets? Then they're not there to give you and teach you. And that's the problem that often our leaders in the community, our legislators, don't think about. They're legislating that parents should teach, but the parents aren't there. And these children are just left without teachers.
They fall through the cracks.
We just presented Martha's program at Mingus Mountain Academy, which is a juvenile facility in Prescott, last Friday, 12 to 18-year-old girls. And they were fantastic. They understood it. They got it. It was very powerful. And they write stuff about, I watched my father beat my mother up and break her ribs until she was like a rag doll. He never beat us, but I didn't know what to do. And I was so bitter. And you have made, Gina's team has made us realize that we can go about things differently. But they don't have role models. And the parents aren't role models. We as a society need to remember that.
Sometimes just a neighbor who says something nice engages a youngster in a conversation. How are you doing? Mm-hmm. How is school going? And would you like a cookie or something? You know, come in and I'd like to be a little hospitable. That person can make a lot of difference because maybe that child isn't getting that sort of caring attitude from their family. Or maybe it's just a moment when they really need to be supported in some way. And again, it doesn't have to be your own children necessarily. We are a world family.
We forget how powerful our impact can be just by being human beings.
We had an incident in our neighborhood recently on a weekend. We have brand new neighbors that just moved in, a really nice young couple, three little kids. He's an educator, and she stays at home and raises the children. But we had a AeroVac helicopter land on our street, and we kind of live out in the rural Desert Hills area, so it's not very often you get a helicopter come and land on your street. Well, these people, their faith is very strong, very religious, and as soon as they saw the helicopter flying and landing, they knelt on my grass. They grabbed their kids, and they said, "Let's kneel and pray." And they prayed in the middle of the day, in an instant, just for whomever was hurt. And I was telling my son's 14, and I said, to me, that was so powerful because they were living what they believed. Mm-hmm. And they were showing an example, setting an example. It was really amazing.
Many people don't do that. They don't walk their talk.
They liked your grass too, didn't they? Mm-hmm.
They loved my grass, yes. Thanks to Craig. I have Craig grass. Yes.
But I like what I think Sue Ellen Allen said this, these are really life principles, and it's not just leadership principles. And do you find that the case? So if that is the case, you know, adults need role models too.
We all need role models.
Yeah.
We all need to be inspired by someone. You know, we go through times that are very trying, very challenging, difficult. And it's sometimes at that point that somebody can show us that either we're important or maybe show us a different way of doing something so that we can move our path a little bit in a different direction and come find a way out of a difficult moment. And
sometimes it's just connecting, too.
Sometimes.
It's not even just fixing or showing. It's the ability to open yourself up to connect with other people so that they don't feel so alone in this world.
Mm-hmm. I can remember a neighbor story, too. There was a lovely woman who had moved in next door, and she would invite me to come and sit on her front steps, and we would just chat, and maybe I was 13. And 13 is not an easy time.
No.
And but she was young enough. She wasn't as in the same age as my mother, so that I felt like I was having a very grown-up conversation with a person, smart, lovely, great, admirable qualities. But she paid attention to me, And I won't forget that. And so we can all do that every
Absolutely.
Day.
We can have that small town mentality in the big city.
That's like today we have one of our interns with us. Geraldine is here with us today. And we get to show her attention, and she's learning. And she has four mentors here that will give her some attention. And I think the ASU intern program is the most fantastic opportunity for students to learn from people in the community mm-hmm. who will mentor them and show them. What an amazing opportunity.
You know, it's interesting is the culture. You know, that's another area where I think children learn, too, that just the cultural beliefs. And I think it seems like there's been a radical shift, especially this movie I saw. I'm bringing this back up. Inside Job.
Movie.
And there's a real shift to, it appears to me, over many years now, and it transcends all the presidents, by the way. It's not a party line.
Right,
they all did the same thing.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
And it seems like greed seems to control a lot of the culture. Would you all agree
Absolutely.
On that?
Absolutely. Uh-huh.
Short-term thinking and greedy thinking, which means one thing. It's about me, and then more me. And,
you know,
and that's never going to work, ever.
My son is wearing a T-shirt right now. Probably not today, but last week he had it on. It says, "The we is more important than the me."
Oh, nice.
It's part of his baseball uniform. Can you believe it? I think that's such a great concept.
One of the things about prison, we all wore the same uniform. We all had the same shoes. I said, well, we don't have anybody to impress. It's not the latest, hottest thing. We're just here in this stuff. But when you get out, it's like being shot out of a cannon. And suddenly, the cars and the clothes and the hair and all of those things, the pressure from this world that we live in, the choices that we have. One of the professors at ASU told me that the average person makes 6,000 choices a day, from what you're going to wear to what you're going to eat to when you get up to when you sleep. 6,000. The average inmate makes 600.
600.
600. The average inmate makes 600. So can you imagine when you get out, you go from this to, it's overwhelming.
Is that multiplied by the number of pair of shoes you have?
Yes, of course.
Don't say anymore.
Very important. Don't get into the shoe thing here.
So I'm thinking, Craig, you've made about 4,000 choices so far.
So far today? I think.
What was your best one?
Waking up.
Oh, coming here.
Yeah. This is always a good choice. Yeah. This is always a good choice.
Wow. That is astonishing.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot.
That
but do I put these on the earphones on now? What shirt do I wear? Do I take water? Do I want this? It's everything is a choice. But when you're in an institution, you don't have those options. And your brain almost
shrinks.
It gets used to it. And that's what they call being institutionalized, because it gets to the point where you're afraid of the choices. And it's overwhelming.
That's why so many of them don't want to leave, because they don't want to have to make those choices.
You know, it's a mixed thing. They want to leave, but they're afraid to leave.
Right,
they're
yeah.
all terrified to leave. How am I going to do it? And some of them, for example, when you get out and you've been in prison a long time, you've been down a long time, they call it, and you go to Burger King. And you haven't been to Burger King or McDonald's in 10 years. And you order a Coke. And they give you, the kid behind the counter gives you an empty cup. Where the heck is my Coke? Nobody tells you there is a buffet over here of all these choices.
Right.
And
yeah.
when I got out, I ordered water. I went to Paradise. I ordered water. So where's my water? So they say over there. I go over there, but I don't see the little black water thing. You know, there's a little tiny thing.
Right, yeah.
So I don't see that. And so they said,
so
my friend says, here's the water. And then I pressed in instead of out. And I thought, oh, my God, they're going to charge me for the lemonade. And so then, no, you pull out.
Ah.
So it was the whole drama. But people don't know that.
Yeah.
And if you have anger issues, which I don't, I was just scared. But people with anger issues might want to punch the guy out because he didn't give you the cup. But that's a choice. Mm-hmm.
It's so interesting, because there's a commercial, if you're a golfer, and our next guest is into golf, of Vijay Singh when he's taking his backswing to hit the ball. And as he's taking the club back, it shows everything that he's thinking. You know, keep your left arm in, don't do this. I mean, it's like 2,000 choices before he hits the ball, and it only takes a split second to hit the ball.
And so what we would like with Martha is for these elements to become so automatic that you live by them and you don't even have to think about them.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's give out our contact information. Can you believe we're at the end of the show already?
Wow.
Martha, how do they get in touch with you? And then Sue Ellen.
Well, my website is www.marthamertz.com, and Becoming Athena, These 8 Principles for Enlightened Leadership, that's the book. I'm recommending it.
Well, thank you so much, Sue Ellen. How do they get
indeed
in touch?
SueEllenAllen.com is my blog, but also theslumberpartyfromhell.com is my website. And Gina's team is all about bringing education into the prison, and that's www.ginasteam.org.
Wow. Well, thank you so much, both of you. Martha Mertz, founder of Athena International, Sue Ellen Allen, author of Slumber Party from Hell. This is great. This is good learning, and it's it's really demonstrating what you're teaching right here on the air. Thank you so much. We want to get you back on again.
Dave.
And we'll be right back with some other remarkable women, and we'll be right back.